Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel of Mark again. We've been working our way through the book there, and we find ourselves in chapter 12. But before I read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessing in giving us it. And we pray that as we turn to it and seek to understand it, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 35 down to verse 38. And as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, "How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself in the Holy Spirit declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son?" And the great crowd heard him gladly. Well, we've seen in Mark chapter 12 so far these interactions between Jesus and several religious authorities. We saw him with the scribe in the previous section, and before that the Sadducees, and before that the Pharisees and the Herodians. And now Jesus moves to the crowd and he starts teaching the crowd, and he says this saying to the crowd. And in one sense, it's a commentary on the scribes, and another sense, it's a commentary upon himself. And we learn several very important key lessons. Firstly, we learn that we must not arrive at our conclusions about Jesus, and by implication God, based upon our own understanding. You see, this was one of the fundamental problems of the scribes, and in fact, all the religious leaders, was that they had drawn conclusions. They had arrived at their own positions of what they believed was true of the Messiah. But they were wrong. You see, they had arrived at their own conclusions, not biblical conclusions. And then they limited what Jesus was to be like. They limited the Christ based upon their own understanding. And we can do this in subtle ways. In subtle ways, we can do this. And so sometimes you'll hear people make comments like, "The God whom I worship isn't like that." And non-Christians say this, but sometimes, sadly, Christians say this as well. You'll be in a discussion with someone and they'll say to you, "Oh, but God, the God I believe in is a God of love. And a God of love would never X, whether it's never stop gay people being in relationship together. That's not the God I worship." And of course, the problem with that is what? It's the God I define. And the problem is, whenever we define God in accordance with our terms and our understanding, what we end up doing is creating a God just like us. And the same is true for the Messiah. We don't need a Messiah like me. We need a Messiah that God chooses for us. And so, secondly, we learn. So firstly, we learn we don't come to conclusions based upon our own premeditations, upon our own understandings. But secondly, we arrive based off the Bible. So Jesus says to them, "How can the scribes say the Christ is the son of David?" And then he quotes David himself. He says, "David himself in the Holy Spirit declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'" He's using the Greek translation there. But what is he referencing? Well, he's referencing Psalm 110. So if you turn to Psalm 110, if you have your Bibles there, we can see exactly where this comes from. And it's from the first verse. Psalm 110, "The Lord says to my Lord," and notice that first word "Lord's" in capitals because it's Yahweh, it's the name of God, it's God himself. "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand." So you can see David's not speaking of himself, is he? He's speaking of someone greater. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And then notice what continues on in this psalm. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments from the womb of the morning. The dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment upon the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the whole earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. What's Jesus showing us here? Well, he's showing us, obviously, many things, but firstly, just note that importance, that it's the Bible that defines what God is, who he is, and what he's like. And the same is true for Jesus. We don't get to define Jesus. We don't get to define the Messiah that we need. God tells us, because God is God, and you and I are not. And so this passage reminds us a lesson that the scribes failed to learn, and that is the Word of God is the place of definition. The Word of God is the place of definition. It's to the Word that we go. So, verse 37, David calls him Lord, so how is he his son? And the great throng heard him gladly. So what's Jesus declaring about the Messiah? Is Jesus saying he's not the son of David? Well, clearly not, because we know Jesus was the son of David, is the son of David. And we know, if you think back to that section where Jesus healed the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, verse 47 of chapter 10, when the blind man heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, did Jesus rebuke him for calling him the son of David? Did he say, oh, thank you very much, blind Bartimaeus, but I'm not the son of David? No, he didn't, did he? In fact, he gets called the son of David a lot. Jesus never corrects that. So Jesus isn't saying he's not the son of David. What's his point? His point is he is much more than the son of David. He is much more than the son of David. As Psalm 110 tells us, he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is the king upon the throne. He is the son of God. He is the Lord of the Lord. He is the Lord's Lord. And so what we see here is a true definition of who Jesus is. What we see here is a declaration that Jesus is far more than what the scribes or the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Herodians could ever imagine. It's far more than you and I could ever imagine. And that's really the key point, isn't it? It's not for you and I to imagine. It's not for you and I to drum up who Jesus is, but it's for us to press into the Word, to push into the Word and seek to say, who is the Christ? Who is the Son of God? Who is the Son of David? What do we believe about him? What do we confess about him? What do we do with him? The people received him gladly. What about you? Do you receive him gladly? What about the people around you? Do they receive him gladly? You see, here he is before us, resplendent in glory. And we're faced with the question, will we believe in this one who is greater than David, greater than a simple son of David, but rather King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus and his splendor and glory. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to receive him as he is, as he was, and as he is to come, and as he is presented to us in the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another day. I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon. God bless.